Welcome, my true crime angels, to another edition of Web Sleuths Radio, or Web Sleuths Podcast, for those of you who are purists out there. My name is Tricia Griffith, the proud owner of WebSleuths.com, and we had a wild week last week. Who would have thunk it? America's dad, your pudding pop dude, convicted, found guilty of three crimes of a sexual nature. And joining us to discuss all of this is the woman in the know. She wrote for Saturday Night Live. She is an investigative journalist. She's also a true crime author. She lives right in the thick of Hollywood, so she knows all the scoop. We welcome back Donna Kaufman.
Donna Kaufman, Bill Cosby, found guilty on all three counts today. What do you think of the verdict? Were you really surprised or were you expecting this?
Well, I went to bed last night thinking it's going to be an acquittal because I've lost my faith in humanity. And today it has been restored, and I'm very, very happy. Bill Cosby, 80-year-old comedian of long time. He had multiple series on network television, drama, and two sitcoms and animated shows. From the 1960s, he was the king of comedy, really. And now his obit will read, convicted rapist who, oh yeah, also made some TV series a long time ago.
It's amazing that America's dad called the prosecutor today an asshole. I don't think we would have ever believed it if we hadn't had seen it on tape. Actually saw
well,
it live.
Thank you for saying that. I wanted to tell that story, but I didn't know if you would let me say that word.
Yes.
But there were some very funny things in this trial, I got to tell you. One of the things about Bill Cosby after his TV series went down, ran out their welcome on network TV. He became a lecturer and a philanthropist. Thank you very much. He did a lot of good, and he went on a speaking circuit to especially the NAACP and to groups, black groups mostly, and also just a lot of different every time he was on television, he, as a guest on the, Leno show or wherever, he would have the same, routine, which was, denigrating blacks for using gutter language.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually had the nerve to call Eddie Murphy and saying, "You're a failure as a comic because I saw your concert show, Raw, and you used terrible language." And he told that to Seinfeld. He told that to many, many people that comics, very successful comics, who he denigrated for using foul language. And that today, when he was convicted and there was a question as to whether he was going to be able to get out on bond, he put up $1 million bond, and the prosecutor said, "He has a plane. He can get anywhere. We need to keep him in jail." And which didn't happen. They let him out on bond. But when he mentioned a plane, Cosby said, "I don't have a plane, you asshole." So, what am I going to tell our little kids who watch a convicted rapist yell at a prosecutor in a court of law?
There you go. And it is always the person that screams the loudest on that high horse of morality that they've got some skeletons in the closet. It's just like those crazy preachers that preach against homosexuality and they're going out at night doing meth with their boyfriends.
Absolutely. And the Cosby Show was nothing but moral stories, and we all thought it was kind of cute and fun and basically good television for families.
Mm-hmm.
But they were all little moral lessons about, girls staying chaste and, guys being told, "Don't mac on my daughter," and that kind of stuff. So, but I never saw in the Cosby Show a guy, a boyfriend or anybody, paralyzing women into coma-like states before having their way with them. That's new.
That is brand new. That's going to be the new Cosby Show. It's going to be the new Cosby family, the zombies. I shouldn't make jokes. I'm sorry. That's terrible to make jokes.
No, I'm sorry. He was a comedian. I'm a comedy writer. there a lot of funny things happened during this trial.
Absolutely.
And I can get into some of them.
Well, let's do that. Maybe people don't know this, but Donna, you did write for Saturday Night Live, so you are officially an incredible comedian. But first off, in case there has been somebody that maybe was in the Taliban during this time and hasn't heard the news, what was the accusation that was made against Cosby in this particular case? Give us a little bit of backstory first.
Okay, yes. This case and this went to trial last year, and a jury of 12 people last year deliberated for 53 hours before there were two holdouts for acquittal, and there was a mistrial. So the prosecutor tried again with a different jury from a different area, and this jury only met 14 hours over 2 days. So it was both trials were for unlawful felony sexual assault and also drugging, and there were three charges on each mm-hmm. of them. In both cases, there was a 7-man, 5-woman split on the jury, and in both cases, 1 man and 1 woman were black and the rest white.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the similarities. When I went to bed last night, the reason I was skeptical is because I know the case very well, and mm-hmm. I knew what was going to come out, which were the deficits of this now 45-year-old woman that in 2004, she met him when she was in an athletic program at the Philadelphia University where she was a professor and into sports medicine. And he was a benefactor for that mm-hmm. program. And he basically started telling her, hey, I could get you on ESPN. You should be on television. I could groom you to be, because I know what they're looking for on TV. And mm-hmm. so they had, over a couple of years, a long friendship. Mm-hmm. They had a lot of, some like 200 phone calls back and forth. Many times they met up, and on two occasions when she would go to his home, he would try to feel her up, and she was like, no, I'm not interested, please. You know, she mm-hmm. she may have told him she was gay, I don't know. But, you know, she wasn't interested. She testified, he was almost as old as my grandpa. So, mm-hmm. You know, never was I attracted to him at all. And they exchanged gifts. Mm-hmm. And then, let's see, back in 2004, I think it was, is when this happened. She went to his house. She had a headache, and he knew that she was somebody who wouldn't even take a leave. So he gave her what he purported were herbal medicines, 3 blue pills. Mm. And they knocked her out. He made her take some wine. He said, you know, wash it down with this wine. And as an experiment, I took some wine and 1 Benadryl. He said they were mm-hmm. Benadryl. That's in question whether they were or not.
Wow.
There are blue, and there were blue Benadryl back then.
Mm-hmm.
I took a Benadryl. I took a sip of wine and knocked me flat on my butt.
Really?
And I didn't, I'm easy. But she took either 1.5 or 3. That's never been quite clear.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing she knew, she could feel him with his hands down her pants, going in and out of her vagina with his hand, feeling up her breasts, and also taking her hand and using it to masturbate him. And she went home. She slept because she couldn't fight him off.
Mm-hmm.
And when she woke up the next day, she couldn't believe it. She was, like, in pain. And she basically said, what happened? And he said, here, take a muffin and go. So she didn't know what to do. She still had a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And after time, she called her mother and told her, the mother said, I'm taking you to the police. We've got to do something about this. So the cops say, well, you know, let's talk to the prosecutor and see if this is prosecutable.
Mm-hmm.
So the prosecutor goes, no, I mean, you don't have any evidence of this. You had a friendship with him that was enduring even afterward, you don't have any, there's no proof here. There's nothing that we can cite as this happened. I'm not doubting you, but I'm saying I can't prosecute. It's not winnable.
Right.
And
right.
And every prosecutor has a mandate to their community not to go forward in cases they're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So the prosecutor said, hey, if I were you, I would sue him in civil court. You're going to win millions. Take him mm-hmm. to the cleaners. That's the justice you're going to get. So she did. She went to court. She won. Now, they weren't going to say the amount that she got from him, but it was $3.4 million.
Wow.
And some of that came, they played a phone call that her mother made to him and said, what did you give her? And he said, well, it was, I have a prescription for it. And I'll tell you what it is. I'll send it to you. And he never did. So we don't yet know what it was. Now, the difference between the old trial of last year and this one was she was only allowed one person to come forward and tell a similar acts is the phrase that you use, story.
Mm-hmm.
And that woman, said, he drugged her and had sex. And this time around, for the retrial, the judge said, okay, I'm going to let in more women to talk.
Mm-hmm.
There were five this time, besides Andrea Constant, who is the athlete. All of them told the same story. He drugged them secretly. They were passed out, not just mm-hmm. a little tipsy and high, but passed out for hours and in some cases into the next day. And when they woke up, they had semen on them. They knew that they had been sexually assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
In Janice Dickinson's case, she was in pain from every orifice.
Mm-hmm.
And these were compelling stories. And to give the defense a little bone that they didn't get the first trial, the judge said, okay, I will let you call in a witness that claims that Andrea Constant made up the whole thing because she wanted to shake down some rich guy for a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so that woman testified, and Andrea said, yeah, I know who she is, but we never shared a hotel room. I was never on the road with her, which was the woman's story, and what she's saying didn't happen. And so they actually showed hotel receipts that showed the woman was not in the hotel with Andrea. So apparently the defense just found someone willing to lie.
To lie. What this woman said, if I'm not mistaken, was that she roomed with the victim and she started saying, hey, I'm going to shake down this rich guy. I know what I'm going to do. And they were on the road together and shared a room. And the prosecution was able to prove that absolutely wasn't true, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And she said when it happened was this year, and they did have a hotel receipt from the woman from a previous year, but not the year that she said. There was nothing. And so this time there was a lot more of forensic evidence offered. For example, the defense said, oh, he didn't have his private plane. He was in a different city at the time. He didn't, so they bring in the plane records from his old secretary and they bring in the pilot and they both said, yeah, we didn't fly there. And the prosecution goes, well, he can drive, right? And there's a train between Boston and Philadelphia, right? He could have gotten there any number. He could have walked. There's any number of other ways besides
exactly.
your plane. He could have taken another plane, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they had to concede. So that's the kind of level of offerings that the defense had, which was really nothing. So the defense had one mandate, which was to trash the victim and the witnesses as much as possible. And
mm-hmm.
it got real ugly, and real nonsensical. At one point, one of the things that they said to Andrea, the victim, was, well, you knew he was married, as if, oh, why did you go after him? If you,
well,
yeah, married guys can rape too. Yes, I knew he was married. I knew his wife. She wasn't there.
And then
this is hilarious. At some point, when she, on the night in question where he did have unwanted sexual congress with her, he gave her a cashmere sweater. So at some later point, she saw him and she was wearing the cashmere sweater. So the attorney, Mesereau, Tom Mesereau, who's from Los Angeles, and I actually know him, said, oh, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I didn't know what this meant until my female colleague told me what it means when a woman wears a cashmere sweater. As if, you know, if he had a handlebar mustache, he would have been twirling it right then.
Twirling it, like Snidely Whiplash. What does it mean? I'm lost here.
Well, he was, it means nothing. But he was trying to make it seem like, you know, do me shoes. I won't say the real phrase.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know, those kind of shoes that you'd see in a naughty catalog of women who want sex. So you wear your strappy heels.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's interpreting a cashmere sweater, which it had no, you know, wasn't a low cut or anything. It was just a cashmere sweater.
That's
from the man
who's
made a career wearing pretty sweaters.
All the time.
Yeah. So that was, you know, oh, cashmere sweater. Oh, my God. You must have wanted it, you evil lady.
I've never heard of that.
And then they had two different dueling forensic psychologists. One was the prosecution had a forensic psychologist, and the other side had a psychologist. And they say, okay, the prosecution guy, here are his achievements. And he's licensed here, and he's a diplomat there, and he's a professor here, and he's a blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, really, the kind of stuff that makes you just your jaw open. And they said, so what's your background? And he goes, well, I have a license to drive. So that was, oh, it was actually a funny moment in the courtroom, but that's as good as they could get. And one of the things that happened this time was they got a female forensic psychologist who specializes in rape cases. And she said, you want to know why women don't report these crimes? It's because, you know, as you're seeing from the defense, they get called on the carpet for ridiculous things. But it's also not uncommon for women, especially if they're trying to establish a career toehold, to keep in contact with that person. And as we know from the Harvey Weinstein case, some of the people that he is alleged to have raped kept coming around because he was making wild promises to them.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
That explains why women don't just say, I'll never see you again. How dare you? They want, the whole reason they're there is because the predator lured them in on the guise of getting them jobs and career advancement. And that's exactly what happened with Andrea. So, you know, and Harvey Weinstein right now, I'm sure he's probably, he's still in therapy, in Arizona, at last I heard. But, you know, he's got all these women who fall in the statute of limitations within, and there are going to be all sorts of prosecutions for him. And I'm sure right now, after seeing the Cosby verdict, he must be looking for a plastic surgeon who can make him look completely different, and also looking for a passport, someone to make him up a phony passport.
Oh, my God. I don't even know what to say. Obviously, the defense had nothing, like you said, but I'm shocked that this prosecutor decided to go forward with it, because this is a very old case, and the prosecutor before this one
had said, no, there's not enough evidence. Do you know what turned mm-hmm. the tide here? What happened?
Well, the Me Too movement came up, and that happened in 2016 or something, where all of a sudden, well, thanks to Harvey, all of a sudden you're hearing from, oh yeah, that happened to me, not just show business, but nurses and teachers and in every walk of life, we're hearing from women who have shut their mouths because they didn't feel they could achieve parity in courtroom and were, deprived their rights, their dignity, and, settlement from the men who got away with abusing them. Mm-hmm. So that whole Me Too movement really mattered. The jury this time, although the same breakdown in race and gender, was much younger. So I think there's a lot less tolerance of how old guys get away with stuff than there is now. There's less tolerance now than there used to be. But let me tell you another thing about Bill Cosby. I'm sure I must have told you this on a previous show. As somebody who came up in the comedy writing business, and I was a performer for a short time, I studied his records like crazy, and also the records of Shelley Berman and Bob Newhart and me and Phyllis Diller. I was somebody who reveres the people who came before me, and I have Bill Cosby's old albums, and on one of them, which was recorded in San Francisco, where I'm from, in 1969, has a cut on there about Spanish Fly.
Oh, and that's in that, I remember
live,
that.
It's a live nightclub album.
Performance,
and
right.
You hear him talking about, oh, and I give her some Spanish Fly, and she's knocked out, and her legs are wide open. Mm-hmm. I can get right in there. And the audience is eating it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1989, he goes on the Larry King show and says, hey, remember Spanish Fly, Larry? Ha, 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 ha. And Larry's playing along. Yeah, I remember it. But, you know, that is Bill Cosby, who didn't drink and did not do drugs.
Mm-hmm.
That was how he dealt with women. Not to, hey, let's get high and have sex. It was like, let me paralyze you until you can't fight back, and then I'll do what I want. So that's Bill Cosby. That's the Bill Cosby that got busted today.
That got busted. Do you think, are there any other cases that might be brought against him, or is this the only one that could be brought against him?
I think this is the only one criminally. There were a couple others that were shady about women that he macked on and did things to at the Playboy Mansion, one of which was about a woman who said she was 17 at the time, which was younger than, it could have extended the statute of limitations, but there was some question as to whether that actually was the date that it happened. So I think that one has gone away. But there are many, many possibilities for a civil case. And the reason Gloria Allred was there, she represents, and by the way, there are 62 women who have spoken out saying that they were in some way abused by him over a 40-year period. And 33 of them are now represented by Gloria. And she had asked him in public, not personally, but she had said, why don't you put $100 million in an escrow account? Because when these cases start settling, you're going to need to, don't spend all your money on attorneys. Let's have some money for the victims.
So
that kind of thing was used on some of the women who came forward and with the defense saying, oh, you just want to make money from Gloria's lawsuit, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And at least two of them said, we didn't know that she was going to do that. We had no idea. We're in here for justice, not, if any money comes, great. But you know what? This is the right thing to do.
And so did he do that or not?
No, he never took her up on that nice offer.
Yeah.
And of course, Mesereau is now saying we're going to appeal. But good luck. You know, what are you going to what? There has to be an error in order to appeal. And the only thing he could point to is, well, you had too many previous victims come forward. Well, you know, that's not going to work. And then he also had one woman who was going to and actually wrote an affidavit and said, yeah, I knew Andrea Constant. I was running a scam, a pyramid scheme, and she gave me $60 for it or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tried to find her to put her on the stand. She went, you know, she took to the mattresses and was not an available witness. And so the defense said, can we read her statement to the jury? And the judge said no. So I guess they could try that. But you know what? That doesn't mean Andrea is a scammer. She gave a scammer $60 to help a friend? You know, that's nothing.
That's absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it means nothing.
Don't you think there's a very real possibility that Bill Cosby could file bankruptcy and then nobody gets anything?
Oh, no, I don't think he can. You know, you have to be broke to file bankruptcy. And he's got assets. He owns 5 homes, at least. He has all sorts of businesses and artwork and, you know, he had 5 children. 2 are dead now. So, you know, even if you divide it up, by the way, his wife did show up for the closing arguments as she did last time. And the question, did she know? What did she know? And there are some women who.
That's a good question. Camille Cosby, what did she know?
Yeah. Some women said, oh, you know, when I came over, she was there and she went upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
So she ain't talking, and she was kissing him in court and acting like, oh, yeah, you know, solid front here. But but I think on a previous show I told you that when she was pregnant with their 3rd daughter, and they had 4 girls and a boy, he wrote an article for a men's magazine about drugging women and having sex. And the women that he was talking about were 12-year-old hairless girls. And,
Didn't you found that article? Right, it was a big deal.
Tell us about that article.
Yeah.
It's absolutely stomach-turning. It's written as a comedy story. But and it's built. It's under Bill Cosby's byline, but it's about a fantasy comic who is playing the biggest venue. It's in the future, and he's playing a venue in Utah where all of his fans show up, and they're all 12-year-old hairless girls because there was some problem with the poisoning of the water supply and no one has hair anymore. So they're all hairless 12-year-olds and they're all giving him their hotel keys to come around and do him. Yeah. And so he's taking, you know, orders, which one he's going to do first. And this is why his wife is pregnant with their 3rd daughter. So she had to have read that. Of course, she knows what's in his dirty mind. She was probably at the club hearing him talk about Spanish Fly. So anyway, in the story that he's writing, he's saying how, you know, he's going to be doing all these little girls. And then one of the girls takes a knife and stabs him in the throat. And then an older woman comes in and stabs him in the heart. And I had a, when I wrote an article about this thing, I had a forensic psychologist say, that's because he, you know, this is a very revealing story. He is saying that he's got great guilt over what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, he knows he should die from, you know, these weird sex habits and his own, the reason that he's talking about doing little girls is because he cannot have a sexual relationship with living, vital, adult women.
Women,
which
right.
is why he's putting them into a paralytic state to have sex with them. And also during one of his questionings, and this was read in court, they said, so how come you don't like sexual intercourse? And he said, oh, I just don't like it. You know, I never cared for it. But, you know, he was having sex vaginally, anally, orally with all of these women. And, but he didn't want to have and of course never using a condom. He was afraid of getting, another one knocked up. There was a very famous case, that he ended up paying some money to a woman that he knocked up. So I think that's why, you know, he would go there, but, you know, finish off in some other place.
Got it. Let's talk a little bit. I want to go back up just a few minutes where you talked about that article. I remember you were the one that found that article, and it exploded because it was so disgusting. And I can't believe that a magazine would publish that. That is so, even back then, that is so appalling. It's so perverted. And so
in 1969, he was coming off of, he was still on iSpy. He was the biggest nightclub comic there was at that time. Mm-hmm. He could have blown his nose on a sheet of paper and they would have printed it. Anything he wants. He's not going to be told no. And that was what he chose. That was the story that he chose. Because, I mean, you listen to the, I'm sorry, that was 1971. The Spanish Fly recording is from 69, and you hear these people laughing and, give a girl a knock her out, and then her legs go wide open, and you can have anything you want. They're all thinking it's hilarious.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so I don't think that same kind of audience is out there anymore. And,
no,
and you know,
God.
Hamilton Burris, who was a comic, in 2014, he was the one who said, Bill Cosby, he's a black comic, and he was telling some university audience, I think, Cosby's going around saying we shouldn't wear baggy pants and we should stop swearing. But you know what we don't do, Bill Cosby? We don't go around raping women like you do. And then he said, look it up, people. And that was what, that's when some of the people who've been sitting on their stories came forward. And one of them went to the Washington Post, and then, it started spiraling. In 1993, when I was on SNL, and Adam Sandler did some guest starring roles on Cosby's show, and he did a absolutely killer impersonation of Cosby that he used on SNL. Mm-hmm. And I was having dinner with him and Chris Rock, and not to drop names, but I mean, you know, you got to eat. And I think Chris Farley was there. And so I'm telling Adam, I said, you know, I can't deny you do a really good Bill Cosby, but, you know, the guy's a rapist. You know that, right? And he said, what are you talking about? And Chris Rock goes, yeah, everyone knows that. Everyone in the comedy world knows Bill Cosby's a rapist. Okay, then cut to after Hamilton, what's his name? Burris comes forward and says, yeah, Bill Cosby's a rapist. And then Chris Rock is saying to the what? I didn't know that. Oh, yes, you did, and you talked about it when we had dinner. So, you know, the way these guys have denied him and have saved his face over the years, it's disgusting.
Mm-hmm. It is. And Bill Cosby knew that. He knew that people would back him up. But what he didn't count on was the amount of women that came forward. I don't think in his wildest dreams he ever thought half of those women would come forward. They all did. And we know there's more out there.
Yeah.
And then, like you said,
you know,
the Me Too.
I know a couple of other women who have not been part of this Bill Cosby movement, but have their own stories and don't want to come forward. But he's just been so blatant about it for a long time. But one of the things about going back to that Laddie magazine article that he wrote, the reason the women pull out the knife and start stabbing him is because the little girl says, "You can't even remember my name. You don't know me, the difference between me and all these other little girls that you're having sex with." And he had to admit it was true, so that's when she stabs him. Bill Cosby, you know, you could put all these women in a lineup and he wouldn't be able to. Maybe he could pick out Janice Dickinson because she's famous.
And that's about it.
But you know what? They were not people to him. Mm-hmm. They were body parts that couldn't fight back. And by the way, after he was finished with whatever he did to many of them, he would tell the people who worked for him, "Yeah, put her in her car and let her drive herself home." I know of one case of a Playboy playmate. There are a couple of playmates that had horrible, horrible stories, and these girls have not come forward. But one of them got in a huge accident and died, accident. And, I hope that some people who know the truth of what happened will start talking. Another one who was having a long-time affair with him shot herself to death. And he had a way of reaching out to troubled women who were promiscuous or model types, desperate for fame, giving him lessons, taking his casting tips. And he had an agency that was sending him over women because he had so many projects on the air that he would do these interviews. And most of the interviews have a common theme, which was, come over, have something to drink, and then now let me see you act drunk. Mm-hmm. Play that you're acting drunk and play that you have wet hair. And sometimes he would make them wet their hair. So there was some common themes that he got off on, and I don't know, it would take a psychologist to analyze what was alluring about those things. But he basically wanted women, so out of it that they could not fight back.
Right. And that right there is leaking his truth about something in his life. And like you said, it would be wonderful if he could get on a good psychiatrist's couch and find out what the hell was going on there. I imagine it's an interesting and yet very twisted story. So, Donna Kaufman.
It'll be interesting to see what happens in when they bring in his kinds of psychologists or whatnot, his defense for the sentencing. Because at that point, he's got to admit that this is what happened, and I here's why I was crazy, what happened to me to make me crazy, to try to mitigate. Because right now he faces 10 years on each of the three counts, and those could be consecutive or concurrent. It's up to the judge. And, he's 80 years old. I don't think that he's going to get 30 years, I do hope he has a nice long life, and that's where he ends it, in a Philadelphia jail.
And that's very well could be what happened. But then again, like America's dad, he may pull it off, and maybe he'll come up with something that will does the jury decide or does the judge decide the sentencing? It's the judge, right?
Yeah, I think the jury, well, that's a good question. I'm not sure how they do it there, but I think the judge has
control.
Veto power.
Right.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I think that they will probably give him at least a few years in jail. He's on the sex registry for the rest of his life. That is a fact. And, he's going to also, there's a minimum of $25,000 per charge. Well, that's, money you'd find in his sofa cushions.
Right.
That's nothing. I mean, this guy was so rich during the 80s and 90s, he contemplated buying NBC.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean,
kind of money.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you ever get a series on the air that is top 10, you know, top 10, that's why Roseanne's back haunting our airwaves.
Yes, she's well, and it's successful, very successful. But he had everything. He had success, he had money, he had people that loved him. Why did he have to go and do this? What in his psyche, in his subconscious, made him turn around and destroy himself by harming, deeply harming women? It's, to me, it's a fascinating look into a very, very sick mind, and I would love to know more. And I hope you're right, Donna. I hope when sentencing comes, they put on some shrinks, and maybe we will get a glimpse into his twisted mind. Maybe we'll find out why this happened. Then again, he might be so stubborn, Donna, that he just says, I'm not admitting to anything. Go ahead and sentence me. I didn't do it. Who knows?
Well, and he didn't testify this time or last,
right,
which is his want. He has no legal mandate to testify. You'd think that he would want to say something in his own defense for sentencing, but it's not necessary.
Exactly. Do we know when the sentencing is?
In a simple trial, he has to testify.
In a civil trial,
there will be a lot of civil trials still to come, and they were just waiting to see how this one was going to go. So, he may be, or his wife may be, I don't want to say that, but, you know, someone may be sending money to the Cayman Islands on his behalf.
Well, that could be. Anything's possible.
So check, you follow the money.
Always follow the money. Donna, when do you think the sentencing will be? Did they give a date today?
I think it's 2 weeks, somewhere around that time.
So it's not too long, not too long from now.
Not long, no.
Well, we'll be talking to you again during the sentencing phase here. It should be fascinating. Donna Kaufman, as always, you have the inside scoop, the inside story, the inside everything. And someday I want you to tell us the stuff that you say you can't talk about, because I bet that's the most fascinating.
Well, you know, the main thing to know is that the game changer that happened today is always, it's easier to get a rape conviction from someone when it's a stranger, because then there's DNA and there's fingerprints. But these are the complicated cases where you know the guy and you want something out of him, and so then you feel responsible and you don't go to the cops, and there's no window of opportunity for forensic evidence. There's no proof. But, you know, all you need is another 61 people coming forward and saying, yeah, me too.
Yeah, me too, me too, me too. That could happen. Donna Kaufman, thank you so much. You have yourself the rest of a wonderful evening, okay?
Thank you, Tricia. And let me mention, my book is still out there.
Yes,
Final
let's talk about
Exams,
that real quick.
True Crime Cases from Dr. Cyril Wecht. Fantastic book, if I might say so myself.
It's a wonderful book.
It's all his cases, so I'm just saying what a brilliant guy he is.
If you love true crime, and that's why you're listening, you have got to get this book by Donna Kaufman and Dr. Cyril Wecht, Final Exam. It's about the cases that Dr. Wecht has participated in, and it's a page-turner. You won't put it down. I promise you that. You can get it on Amazon.
They're all twisty, weirdo cases that, you know, he's done more autopsies than anybody else on the planet, and for prosecution, for defense, you know, both sides. So, but I'm able to pick the weirdest, twistiest cases, and that's what is in this book.
And that's what we love, the weirdest and the twistiest, definitely. Donna, thank you so much. We'll put a link up to your book, okay?
Thank you so much, always,
okay.
Tricia. You're doing you're just such a great job, and you've had so many victories. Let me just say, so many victories you've had lately.
Thank you.
The Texas case and the yesterday the California case.
It's certainly, we have done some great work. When I say we, I'm not talking about me. Talking about the amazing sleuths that come from all over the country, and I don't know who they are, but they jump in, they join in, and the only thing missing would be somebody out there listening now who's not a member. Just go to websleuth.com, register. You can be a big part of this, and it's a great way to bring people together and to help others just while you're sitting there at your computer. It doesn't cost a thing.
It's cutting edge human and grassroots involvement that really can make a huge difference.
Absolutely.
You know, you're helping so many people get closure and so many, police cop shops across the world who are reading Web Sleuths and learning things.
That's the truth. We do have a lot of law enforcement reading, although they won't admit it, but it is true. They're there.
Yeah.
Okay, Donna, thank you for the plug. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Tricia.
Take care. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.